So this is one of the great feasts of the year. And it's a lovely feast. It's a lovely celebration. It's right here every year at the beginning of summer before it gets too hot. We break out the red again. Everybody loves singing, "Come Holy Ghost." But it has to be more than just a day. Pentecost has to be more than just something we do for an hour and then go back to the rest of our life. Because the liturgical year, the church's year of feasts and fasts and celebrations, they're not like secular holidays. They're not like the 4th of July or President's Day. Because when the church celebrates, or when the world celebrates, those holidays are just reminders of historical events. They're a reminder of something that happened in the past that's still in the past. But when the church celebrates, that's not the case. Because when the church celebrates, our holidays are sacramental contact with the mysteries of God. So that means that it is something that happened in the past, but it's not locked in the past. And so when we celebrate in the church, we come into living contact with the event that happened all of those years ago. So when we celebrate Christmas, with that event that happened 2,000 years ago, we come into contact again with the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And the same thing happens at Easter. We're not just remembering what happened, but we're actually coming into living contact with the resurrection. And so all of these feasts, all of these celebrations are full of symbols, but they're not just symbols. Because underneath and within the symbols, the reality is present too. And so there's all sorts of things today that symbolize Pentecost, that symbolize the fire of the Holy Spirit, but they're not just symbols, because that event is present underneath. And so every feast and every season of the church year has its own proper grace to offer us. Every time we come together to celebrate another one of these great celebrations, there's something new that we're being given. And that's why we can't let this day be just a day. That's why we can't let it stay on the surface like it's just a reminder of something that happened in the past. Because once we do that, we let that gift that God wants to give us be locked in the past, where it can't help us. We can't afford to put our contact with the living God, the Holy Spirit of love, who has spoken through the prophets and stirred the saints to greatness, who comes to us on this day, we can't afford to put that on the same level as President's Day or as Arbor Day when we celebrate planting trees. It has to be something more. And so to let it be more, we have to be radically open to the Holy Spirit. Radically meaning in the very roots of who we are, we have to be open to the Holy Spirit. Why? Why do we need to be open to the Holy Spirit? Because no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And if we are not under the lordship of Jesus Christ, we have nothing. Not very little, not less than ideal, but nothing. St. Paul says that, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? And so if we're not underneath Jesus Christ with him as our Lord, we have nothing. But we don't want to submit. We don't want a king. We don't want a Lord. Because the very first sin in the garden was a sin of pride. And because it was a sin of pride, that pride has marked us ever since. So ever since then, we've We've been proud and we've been stubborn and we don't want to let someone else rule. And so Christ, desiring to win us to himself, pours out the Holy Spirit to soften our hearts. In the sequence, we sang, "Bend the stubborn heart and will. Melt the frozen, warm the chill. Guide the steps that go astray." Because we're proud, the Holy Spirit has to come to soften our hearts, but he will not do that against our will. We have to choose it, and we have to let him do it. We have to accept it. And so we have to choose to surrender our pride and to be docile, to let the Holy Spirit lead us. Once we let the Holy Spirit soften our hearts, then he can come again and do his second work. His first work is to come and to make us open. And then once we're open, his second work is to come and to fill us with power. Jesus in the gospel sends out his apostles to forgive sins. That's a big claim. He doesn't send them out just to teach people to be slightly better, but he sends them out to forgive sins. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who's going to be made a saint soon, said, "Christ did not come to make us nice people. He came to make us new men." And that's a big mission. The mission of being made new is enormous. And it goes two ways. There's an interior way and an exterior way. And so on the inside, we need boldness to confront our own stuff. Our own sin, our own pain, the ways we've been hurt, the ways we've hid, we need boldness to confront that. And then on the outside, we need boldness in inviting others to do the same thing. We need boldness in loving others. We need boldness in challenging others to put themselves under the lordship of Jesus Christ, just as we have. Why do we need to do that work? Because if we're not under the lordship of Jesus Christ, we have nothing. Because as proud as we are, and as stubborn as we can sometimes be, as much as we don't want a king, we also do. We all love movies where the rightful king comes back and takes the kingdom again. That's in every single story that we love, that happens. Because there's a part of us that wants to be wholehearted. And there's a part of us that wants something to believe in. But we're afraid. And so we hold a part of our heart back for ourselves. We say to the Lord, "Okay, you can have all of this, but I'm going to take care of this part, just in case." Because we're afraid of the risk of giving him everything. But of course there's a risk in giving God everything. That's how you know it's worth it. There's nothing in this world that's worth doing that does not carry a risk. And so because there's a risk, and because we're afraid, and because we're weak, we need the Holy Spirit to be active in our life. He can't be optional. We cannot live if Jesus Christ is not our Lord. And no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. St. Bonaventure says that the Holy Spirit comes where he is loved, that the Holy Spirit comes where he is invited, and that he comes where he is expected. And so today, every day, before everything we do, no matter how small, love him, invite him, and expect him to show up.